You're listening to Drake in the Morning
with Danny, Wes, and Sid
on 98.1 The Max.
At least you aren't part of the county government today. That was a fun story that Mayor Luttrell wants to know where the money that the commissioners are allowed to give every year to a nonprofit, where it's going exactly and where it's being used for. And they took umbrage to that. And there were ugly, well, I'm not sure if they're ugly, but there were words spoke back and forth.
There was some umbrage.
And some gaveling was done to quiet them. I wouldn't want to piss off Mayor Mark.
No, but you know, the chairman of the county commission, Mr. Melvin Burgess, is a friend of mine. He lives in my neighborhood, lives across the street from me.
Yeah.
And I don't know that I'd want to be on the nasty end of his gavel either. I mean, it cuts both ways.
So did y'all, did more go on than we're being told?
Oh, not that I know of. I mean, I don't think
if he's your big buddy, then spit it.
They didn't adjourn that thing till 10:30 last night. He wasn't out working in his yard this morning. You're probably sleeping in, which I would.
So they bitched and moaned till 10:30 last night?
They did the people's business till about 10:30 last night.
God, you were so like a damn trained SEAL. didn't take long.
I'm back on my game, baby.
Yes, you are, man. You look good.
But they did. They were going to like, I mean, I looked at the tweets this morning. They were going strong when I went to bed around 10 o'clock last night. I think they got a budget.
Oh, that's right. Because Mark was here Friday.
But what you're referencing happened earlier on in the afternoon. I think that meeting ran so late. Well, so late. I mean, this is also a commentary on print newspaper deadlines now. But Ryan's story in this morning's papers didn't even have the resolution of the meeting. It said as of press time, they had decided X and Y. Yeah, which is something that we used to use in sports. You know, you're covering a late night West Coast game in Sacramento. You say as of press time, the score was blank and blank.
Yeah, I sure wish. And just to get off course for a second, you got out of this business just in time, sadly. And everyone knows that we love newspapers, or that I do. And to watch this thing unravel is really a drag. But the local news is now inside the paper. There are three stories of pretty serious importance that didn't make the front page. Not that these stories are not important, but who knows? It's just kind of a mess. Of course, the lead story today has been the plane crash with 16 Marines on board about an hour north of Jackson, which has been a national news story. So that's unfortunate. Around this city, though, it seems like in the summertime, once the budget's done, the new fiscal year has begun July 1 for the city, and it seems to be rather uneventful. The anniversary of the bridge event was, what, yesterday or something?
Yeah.
And there was a bunch of chatter about that, which I didn't really know what the point was. But a bunch of kids marched, and that was cute. And how do we feel about any of that being celebrated, but acknowledged? What have we learned the past year from that?
I don't know. You know, the mayor was asked that by some media outlets last week, you know, in advance of the year, and was asked, you know, how did it impact or change your administration? And the honest answer was the one that he gave. It didn't that much, because the things that the groups wanted, we were already working on, right? I mean, you remember that from this time last year. That, part of the things that these groups wanted were things that prompted the councilman to run for mayor 2.5 years ago. So the idea that there is a wedge or a conflict in the ideals, in the goals, I should say, of the groups and the mayor is not true. They probably go about it different ways. But the idea that, you know, that after the protests last year, they said they wanted larger minority contracting. Well, we're doing that. We're doing it quite well, in fact, with more work to go. No victory lap. Wanted better training for police officers. Got it. Wanted Michael Rawlings to be police director. I think we all know that happened. Wanted stronger programming in community centers. And I think that, you know, if there's one thing you can say about this administration and the budgets that we've passed now with the city council is that they are neighborhood focused.
Mm-hmm.
And there's more programming in community centers. There's actually literacy programming in community centers. I think all the community centers for the first time, spring break camps. I could go on and on, but the idea that the idea that it changed much about this administration doesn't really hold much water, because this administration was already going down that road. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
So yes. Then there were a couple gatherings, I think Sunday, there were, you know, 75 or 100 who marched to City Hall. The children, I think, put little note cards in a box to give to the mayor, to give to, I don't know, maybe mayor of the council too, I don't know, to sort of say, here's what we want in our city. And we looked at them yesterday morning, and it was actually, you know, there were a lot of different things. I mean, you're talking, you know, there's a lot of kids involved. But they kind of focused around two areas. One was that they want more pools, or they want city pools. They want places to go in the summer, which is cool because we have 13 of them. And then they...
Are they open?
Yeah. They open the Memorial Day weekend. And they want to reduce violent crime. And
so these children are saying things like that.
Yeah. I mean, that's what the two, you know, if you were to put them all in a pile, that's sort of the two, the big ones that you know, they're tired of
fearing
violence
from?
In their streets.
From their parents or from their whomever that they, yeah.
Well, I mean, I would say that, you know, if you're in a neighborhood and, you know, that neighborhood has violence and, you know, you've had a shooting down the street or whatever
scared,
it is, you're scared.
You're a little kid.
I mean, that impacts you. I don't think your mom and dad have to tell you that.
Right.
So we agree. Like we, that totally governs what we do too.
So what, the pool thing, the issue of pools in this town has always been, a discussion. It just seems that it isn't talked about much. Are they open? Are there lifeguards? What mm-hmm. are the rules about that?
Yeah, they open Memorial Day weekend. They're staffed. There's 13 outdoor pools. There are 3 or 4 indoor pools. I can't remember.
Well, there's some kind of incident that prompted this to be on the quietest for a while, then it came back and... Now it's all cool again.
Well, if so, that's before our time. I know they were open last year, too. I know there was some, you know, unfortunately, a couple of years ago, there was a situation where a young person got into the pool after hours and drowned tragically.
That's right.
There was some measures taken, I guess, in the winter of 15, spring of 16 to increase security so that doesn't happen. I mean, increase perimeter security. There's sky cops that, you know, if you it's after hours and you climb over the fence, the sky cop detects the movement and sends a police officer or
every
whatever.
Every precaution.
Maybe. Yeah, right.
That's possible.
And
okay,
so,
good.
But yeah, they're open. They've been open since Memorial Day weekend.
Well, it is a bit of it's kind of sad and, not sad, but it's encouraging that at least these children understand the challenges that they face in this city and in their lives. And they don't, you know, wake up one day and they're 18 and lost and searching. They're at least given the chance now to write down, you know, on, you know, some paper what they're, you know, scared of. And that is sad, but somehow encouraging as well.
Well, and look, it's an opportunity for us, particularly around the pool part, to continue to communicate, you know, where they are and when they're open and what you can do. And there's free swim lessons or low-cost swim lessons. The thing that you see more and more often, and it's probably a commentary. Look, it's a commentary on me and Ursula and how we can always find ways to do our job better. It's a commentary on the city as a whole, and it's a commentary on, in a lot of ways, the fractured media landscape, is that a lot of folks don't know the opportunities that exist.
You know, it's funny you say that, because the mayor, Mark Luttrell, on Friday said the very same thing. And I don't know that people, the average citizen, doesn't really realize that unless they are, you know, paying attention. But the fractured media system is really an unfortunate thing. There is no pipeline to get information to anybody in this city. The newspaper, and, you know, bless their heart, mm-hmm. and we have all tried to dance around this issue as best we can while still offering our support by referring to it daily, by having guests on from the paper. But it's not a really good source for immediate news. The sports page has become irrelevant. It's a day or two behind. But television news is not concerned about issues that involve the government and things like that. They're more concerned about who got shot in Orange Mound. And so that's why I hope that this program continues to be able to present these issues from you and the mayors and from whomever that nobody else seems to be too concerned about. It's not always pretty, but it has to be discussed or no one knows what the hell's going on.
And look, that's why, you know, we get a little grief or eye rolls from time to time from our friends in the legacy media about how much we use social media and we use the weekly email.
What are your freaking options?
We speak directly to the public. And, you know, people want to, sometimes they want to say, oh, you're trying to go around us and you're trying to like shape the message and this and that. And you're like, no, I don't think you understand the very basic premise that we need to get information out. And these are channels that we can use to do that. So why wouldn't we? And also, it's not like 20 years ago where you could make a few phone calls, go in front of the editorial board of the Commercial Appeal, and, you know, in 2 or 3 hours, get your message to permeate the community. It doesn't work like that anymore. And so that's why we're using all these tools at our disposal. And one I'll mention to you that came to mind a second ago, we created a website a couple of weeks ago called opportunitymemphis.com. Sid, as much as you want to share that, you can. I think you may already have. What it does is basically say, do you need a job? Here's a website to go to it. Do you need free community college? Great. Here's the website to go to it. It's an aggregator. It's not, you're going to go there to get a portal to go somewhere else.
I had no idea about any of that.
There you go. We just launched it a week ago. We're in the process of the next few weeks telling more and more people about it.
But why wouldn't that be on the TV news?
I think one publication has done a story about it, but we're going to keep trying. I mean, this is still very early, okay? But
the nature of that story, yes, let's just say it's only been a week, so we'll get to it. But the hypocritical part of this, and I don't mean again to bust up on our friends that are on TV. It's the ones behind the scenes that pull the strings that mess all this stuff up. They are quick to tell you and to urge you consistently to use their Facebook page, to like them on Facebook, to go to Twitter, go to all that crap. That is their endless desire, is to get more hits on their Facebook page. Yet, when you guys use it in the government to spread the word because they don't, they get annoyed by that.
And I'll be glad to work with anybody, any reporter from our local media who wants to do a story.
I don't think that they're that concerned about it. And
we'll be pushing it.
And I'll just, I'll just stand up for you in this case, but it is it's two-faced, and they're too busy showing the bad stuff to get to the, you know, city politic and the things that drive this city. And so hence you end up having to be on Facebook, making up new websites to get any attention.
Well, one thing that came out when we did that was a lot of people are often, and Channel 5 did a story on this 2 or 3 months ago. A lot of people are often surprised there are 15,000 open jobs in the Memphis area. Mm-hmm. And what a lot of people don't know, and you know, it's one of those things that I take for granted, you probably take for granted because we follow the news and we've seen how Governor Haslam and the state have, in the past few years, moved toward free community college for all.
Yes.
The Tennessee Reconnect program, which now adults can go back to community college. The technical schools, which are pretty much, we can be free to pretty much everybody. We post that online, and the number of people who respond and say, wow, I had no idea, this is really cool, kind of blows me away sometimes. Because it's not as though Governor Haslam and the state, it's their program, it's not as though they haven't communicated it.
Right.
They've beat the drum.
Right.
But shows you just how loudly you have to beat the drum over and over.
Right. And when that drum is being beaten, who hears it? Who knows about it? If you don't buy the newspaper, if you don't hear it on this show, if you don't hear it on some TV newscast, you don't know about it. Therefore, mm-hmm. How can you apply for a job if you have no job? There's a job fair here every week. You know, Sid finds the stuff. I push the job fair, you know, twice in the show. It goes up on the website, and it happens constantly. 15,000 jobs open in this town. So let's stop whining about can't find a gig. There are jobs out there if you want to work. But getting the message out.
Well, you have to be in front of people.
That's just the part that is so frustrating.
I mean, a lot of what we spend our time on is pretty passive communication, in that we do it through the mass media, through social media, and you hope someone looks at it. I think what you're going to see, we're still working on some plans, but in the next couple months, maybe you'll see we're going to actually go out into the public, actually physically go out in front of people and say opportunitymemphis.com. And I think that, you know, we did that.
Where do you go?
You know, there's churches, community centers, libraries. I mean, there's all kinds of places where people are. Let's go meet them where they are. We did that with our Summer in Memphis guide. So it's a little guide for free and low-cost opportunities or things to do this summer. We put it in the hands of school kids in SCS schools before they left in May. And, you know, to take it home with them. I don't know that, you know, who knows if they all made it home. You never know. But at least you're physically putting it in people's hands so that they, yeah, you know, they have that option.
You know, there's, you know, as I hear this and I talk to you and see all these things, and it's you just sense the frustration, though, among people like you, people like me, people like the mayor, people that work in the city government, about the word and getting it out and getting results and so on. But as you mentioned before, there are a number of different programs this summer. All these kids at these centers, and they have pools, and there are things being done. And it does seem like people in all areas of the city, be it government or church groups or otherwise, are trying to heighten the awareness and to inform people about things. This piece today I've got from somebody, the Lewis Help Foundation. They're opening up this transitional center. It's today is the grand opening at noon. It'll provide educational programs and general services for those in this area who are trying to get their lives back together, ex-offenders and the homeless. So who will see this today? Who is Aaron Taylor? Is this from The Appeal? Is it from a TV station? I got no idea. And this came out, it is 3 or 4 paragraphs, and I don't know who's aware of it. The Lewis Help Foundation is the sponsor, along with a church. Today on Walker Avenue is where this happens, noon till 3 o'clock. And unless you hit this show is on in your car or, you know, someplace, you don't know about this.
Mm. Yeah.
And so, so this kind of help that you may, in fact, in your life need to help you get up off the street and back into the real world, you don't know about it.
And there's hundreds and hundreds of people doing stuff like that in
our
city.
That's what I'm saying, is that there people are really, really trying to make a difference and trying to help. But there's no palpable sense that it's working and that it's helping anybody because no one knows about it.
Well, let
it's
me I'll
a real strange,
yeah, it is
dynamic.
And I'll give you two options for anyone who's listening who could take advantage. One is opportunitymemphis.com, but another is we have a phone number at the city that's run out of the library called 211. It's just 211. Someone once asked me what the number to 211 is.
Can I call and ask for you?
You could maybe try to work on that, but I don't think you're going to get anywhere.
Okay.
Glenn and the folks over there probably won't transfer you. But
what you call
what
happens?
Can do, it's basically a connector to social services.
Okay.
So whatever you may need, we were plugging 211 a lot during the storm because they will connect you to a food bank or a food pantry, you know, if you're needing.
And this is a functional service and you weren't put on hold for 3 days.
No, I think it's 2.5 days. No, I really don't know. I mean, I think that they.
But a well-intentioned idea.
No, and I think they're fairly well-staffed, and that's not ever an issue that's been raised up to me. But yeah, no, it's totally a what can we do? Here's how we can connect you to, you know, maybe it's utility assistance. Like I said, it's food, maybe clothing, maybe shelter. I mean, these are basic social services. Can connect you to. You know, all the things that our Workforce Investment Network does. They do a lot of things in terms of helping you get ready to enter the workforce, or if you want to re-enter the workforce or you want a better job, we can help you with, you know, interviewing and resumes and applications and connecting you to everything, and it's all free. So if you call 211, you can just basically say, here's what I'm up against. Is there anything in this city that can help me? And odds are they're going to respond with something and say, yeah, actually, if you call this, or I'll transfer you here, or go here and they'll help you with that. It's a very cool service.
And this does sound great, as does the other thing, but you just wonder how many people have the impetus to get up off their asses and make the attempt to reconnect with life these services are there, but it requires, well, you know, walking to a phone to call it first and things like that. And it's just, that's why people get uptight about all this entitlement stuff and all these other, you know, concepts. But when a city like this is trying as best it can to provide services to give somebody a shot at a new life, it really is, it must be a little bit maddening to watch it go, not ignored, but undiscussed for the most part. And that's just, it just makes you want to beat your head against the wall.
Well, you got to meet us halfway. There's no doubt about it.
Right.
But, you know, if you show that interest, I can guarantee you that there is probably something out there to connect you to, you know, what you need.
Well, I hope that that is worked on and that the word spreads, and there are chances there. Our guest is Kyle Veazey from the mayor's office. The Memphis pledge to the surviving, this goes back 50 years, mm-hmm. hard to believe. MLK 50, explain the pledge to the surviving strikers of that era, the guys that worked for the Department of Sanitation, the I Am a Man time. What is this about?
Yeah, so in 1968, when the city recognized AFSCME as the bargaining unit for the sanitation workers, right, because that was one of the big deals of the strike, they held a vote and decided to join Social Security as their retirement plan and not the city's pension plan. Okay, so in 1968, I don't know what that decision looked like, but you know, maybe it was on par, but very quickly you realize that the city's pension plan was going to be better, and just retiring on Social Security alone was probably not going to get you there.
Mm-hmm.
So for nearly 50 years, the city has tried to find a way, different mayors, different councils. There's a big, thick file in Lisa Jeter's office of all the different communication over the years to try to find a way to get these workers into our pension plan, and we just can't happen. The Social Security laws, once you pick it, you got to stay there, right? And so you had a situation where sanitation workers, they became solid waste workers in 1990, but sanitation workers weren't able to retire nearly as comfortably as everyone else in city government. And in fact, some of them were still staying on the job. We have you won't believe this, we have currently four of our solid waste employees on the job today who struck in 1968.
Seriously.
49 wow. years ago. Mr. Nickelberry is in his 80s. And
still working.
Still working. And so what this administration
did... Because he wants to?
I think you'd have to ask him that, but I guess probably if there were a more comfortable
Both.
Retirement system, yeah. you may not have to cross that bridge, right?
So
what this did in sum was giving $50,000 grants to these men, all 14 of them. There's four current and there's 10 living retired of the 1968 strikers. To go a long way towards giving them financial security. I don't think anyone ever thinks that there's anything really the city could do to make them whole,
right.
You know, in terms of, you know, the actual math. But $50,000 to go along with your Social Security and go along with something else that was done in 1995, a deferred comp plan, we think administered right could help these men retire or help the men who have already retired to enjoy the kind of security, financial security that they deserve. I mean, these are the 1968 strikers are really important people, not just in the history of Memphis, but in the history of the civil rights movement in our country and the world.
Yes.
And it's tough. Sometimes we should never forget that. I mean, we should never forget that there are men in our city who changed the world for the better because of their courage and their bravery. Starting in February 1968. And so this was a big step towards that. It had never gotten done before. It was a very cool breakfast, a very cool event. You know, we've been working on it a while. We had this breakfast, and the mayor gets up. I think many of them, I don't know if all 14, 8 or 9 of them were there, and the mayor gets up and he makes this announcement, you know, we're going to do this, and we're also creating a new supplemental retirement plan for the current workers too. But, you know, we're going to give you this because we think it helps you get closer to financial security. There were smiles, there were hollers, there were tears. And that was a really cool moment.
Very nice. Makes you wonder why this hasn't been done before. But that's a whole different topic. That's a very, very, very nice touch. And kudos to Channel 3. They're the ones that publicized the story about this event today. So, oh, good. Okay. So yes, these people, when they can, they work in some of these news stories, and they're doing the best they can too. It's a very strange time in the media and every level of it. But they're doing the best job they can, I suppose. But as long as there are corporate wing nuts that call the shots, we're all screwed. But that's a whole different topic, too.
That wouldn't be in any other business, though, would it?
Uh-huh.
It wouldn't be like that in any other business, would it be?
Oh, no. It's all perfect except for the media.
Okay.
Because we're all liars and pieces of crap.
Right. I heard that. I heard that from someone. I'm not sure who.
I don't know, but it's true.
He's got a Twitter account, I think.
It's an absolute truth. Everything is just a never-ending battle. I wonder if this is going to make its way downtown, and I can't ignore it, but you can do with it what you want. I'm sure that the mayor, good morning, mayor.
That's Dr. Mayor to you.
And how many councilmen are attending this morning?
Well, I'm glad you asked that because you're saving me from a tough conversation. I'm sure Councilman Colvette is tuned in. I'm sure Councilman Spinoza. But I want to add, 3 or 4 weeks ago, I'm in City Hall, and the worthy representative of District 5, Worth Morgan, comes up and he says, you know what? I also listen to Drake.
Does he have
every Tuesday morning?
So does he have just once a week?
Well, I rapped him. I said, you know what? The guy produces good radio
every day.
The other 4 days of the week.
Good. All right, there you go.
And I think he said he listens to every single minute and records it and listens to it at night. I'm making up here. I don't know. I'm trying to not get stared at too much.
He now has my ongoing, undying affection.
So you have three council members. You're four away from a quorum and running this city.
One is 12.
Couldn't he have picked up the phone to text you and go, I'm out here too, love Worth?
He may have. I mean, out of respect, I haven't looked at my phone yet.
That's just lazy, arrogant bullcrap right there. That's how politicians do you. They just...
Worth's not a politician. He's a man of the people.
God almighty, you have been brainwashed.
Thank you.
It's
Thank
really
you very
good.
Much. Thank you, Wes. Thank you, Sid.
Okay. Let's see here. This came from Wallet Hub. Have you seen this?
No.
The best run cities in the country?
No, I haven't, but I'm looking at it right now.
And it isn't very pretty for us.
Oh boy, there we are.
Yeah,
look, we're on a list of the best run cities in the US. Drake, it's been a good visit with you. I got to go. play the outro music. Don't you have like James Pest or somebody you need to
But let's not. I mean, the world is list crazy. And there's one every 10 minutes. The top 10 most well-run. This is based upon local budget, quality of services offered by. But this was done, I would suspect, maybe before any effects of what Jim Strickland is trying to implement were counted. There is without question, a sense of things getting better and things getting done in this town. But they measure the effectiveness of local leadership, operating efficiency, how well city officials manage and spend public funds, blah, 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 blah. Long-term debt per capita, high school infant mortality rate, violent crime rate, quality of roads, air pollution.
Well, there's a lot of stuff here that the city government doesn't even have an impact on.
Number one most well-run city in America is Nampa, Idaho.
Sure.
And I guess we'll all be going there next. Not. Number two is Provo, Utah. Been there. Beautiful place. I didn't ever see. Isn't that where?
Never been to Provo.
That's where BYU is, right?
Yeah.
Okay, good. Boise, Idaho. Farmland. Nice, simple American people. Missoula, Montana. Lexington, in Fayette, Kentucky.
Yeah, I like Lexington. I've been there a few times.
I do too, but I mean, we were born. I mean, that's my state,
right?
But I never pictured it. Now that's a college town of what, 100,000 people?
Yeah, it's like the size of Chattanooga or something.
Las Cruces, New Mexico, Billings, Montana, Bismarck, North Dakota. If you dig winter, you're in Fort Wayne, Indiana, and Louisville, Kentucky. The top 10 best run in America. Now this is based upon data that we can't confirm or deny or any other thing. The bottom performers, 141 was our beloved Memphis, Tennessee, followed by those losers in Chattanooga, After that, Flint, Michigan, Oakland, Hartford, Cleveland, San Francisco, and New York. So we're in pretty good company.
That's what I was about to say. If you're good, like Chattanooga gets national praise for the momentum of their city, and they're ranked 142, and we're ranked 141.
And who's ranked 150?
Washington, D.C.
That's.
But if you tell me that.
I rest my case.
If you tell me that Memphis can be in the same category in terms of well-run momentum cities with Chattanooga, San Francisco, and New York, I guess I'd probably take that, wouldn't
you? I suppose,
and
yeah.
One thing that kind of alarmed me a little bit, they crunched data on the size of the local budget. Well, if you know, we don't have a school system. So, you know, if you're just doing the numbers and saying, well, Memphis spends this and another city or county spends that and they have a school system and we don't, then yeah, we don't have that much money compared to that.
That's but why this whole thing is a bit wonky, as I said.
This is probably apples and tangerines.
Yes, because all the components that they went to great lengths, I'm sure, wink, wink, to look into, it's just one more list and one more tree that gave up its life to give up the paper to print this on, then it's pointless. So don't let anybody get sad downtown, because this is all a lie.
We're going to try to turn on the lights at City Hall today and try to get out of that.
What's up with the Memphis Police Department, the new class, the attitudes, the MPA? Is everybody playing nice?
As far as I know, I don't know anything different. You know, the biggest class in 7 years is still out at the academy. They graduate a month from today, Drake Hall. Okay. And I think they are started with 108 and now there's 90 something, which is, you know, about, you don't expect 108 to make it to the end. So that's still happening. If you're
only 18 wussed out.
Something like that. I mean, it's in the 90s. It could be fewer than that.
That's pretty impressive.
But there's a month to go. Let's not get too far ahead of ourselves. But last week, our recruiters were in Little Rock, Jackson, and Birmingham.
I saw that on the TV.
And
does that make them mad when we show up to take their people because Dallas came here to rob our guys?
Because it didn't make us feel real good.
No.
But what are you going to do?
Nothing.
You know, if you're an officer in another department, you can come here and check our lateral training. Go to joinmpd.com and see what's going on there about, you know, joining the force and not have to do the whole 6 month academy if you're already certified. If all these things are going on.
If you are already an officer somewhere, there's a program that has been around for months. It's not anything new, and it exists and has been publicized in various ways for months on end. So in case you are an officer that can hear me in Cape Girardeau, come on down.
Sykeston.
We would love to have you.
Why would you leave Sykeston, though, if there's the third roles?
I can't imagine why you would want to, but people have odd reasons for everything. Thank you.
Yes, sir.
The mayor is overdue to come in here.
Yeah, I'm going to tell Sid when we get off the air. I think I may have that solved.
I'm getting a little bit annoyed with him, but it is summertime and no one's paying attention. So I want him to come in August when school's back in session and people are back on their schedule and can hear what he has to say. Because now everybody's on vacation, being a vegetable, but school's back August 7th. So I want to get him in here in mid-August when school's back, parents are in cars, kids are in cars, and we'll sing and laugh.
And maybe by then you'll have four council members.
I only got three.
You only got three. But I'm telling you, three is a pretty darn good start.
Three is not even a quarter.
No, but that's three more than maybe some other programs in town have. Do you think Olson's got three right now?
Who?
Olson.
He's asleep. It's 8:25. He's already passed out. He may have all of them, and I hope he does. But we should strive, and this is really not my problem. It's yours to get everybody on board. I don't have time for this, and you're down there with these knuckleheads, so this is your gig to work out, so quit dissing me.
I'll try to work on some more public servants for you.
I appreciate it.
We're, you know, trying to improve the trajectory of our city and to get out of this 141st spot ahead of Chattanooga.
Chattanooga. Isn't that where the volunteers play?
Sure, yes. Yeah, okay. That works for me. Yeah.
All right. Thank you, Kyle Vesey. You're a good man and a good friend. Thank you for playing along with this idiotic discussion. Parts are good and parts are silly, but otherwise, if it was all serious, it wouldn't be any fun.
You'd have fewer than 20 listeners that way.
19, and these three councilman losers. We need more. Thank you, Worth Morgan. Love you, bro. We'll be back in a minute.
Email us anytime at mail@drakeinthemorning.com.